We get a chance to read the scriptures today, and we're going to look in the book of Acts, chapter 13. If you would take your Bible and open it up to Acts chapter 13, one way or another, whichever Bible version you have and whatever that looks like, your electronic version, you can even read it off what we have up here. But we're just going to read the first three verses. I still don't have enough time to cover those first three verses. So would you stand up with me for the reading of God's word? Now there were in the church at Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Pray with me. God, I thank you that you have things to say, and I want to be out of the way, so you say it well, and you speak through me, you be glorified. May we hear your voice, may we be changed, because we've been in your presence together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You can be seated. To tell the truth, I want to approach this a little different. I want to slow down. I never have enough time in talking about these things, and it kind of drives me bananas. So you just have to talk about less. And I want to talk about something important on my heart that's from this passage. It's really interesting. I was reading about this message that was given in 1925 by a guy named Frederick Donaldson. And he's talked about the seven social sins. And he said, these seven social sins, listen to them, because there's only one of them I'm going to deal with. But he says, the seven social sins are wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, knowledge without character, commerce without morality, science without humanity, worship without sacrifice, and politics without principle. And I'm not going to deal with the politics without principle. But the second to last one, that worship without sacrifice, it isn't really possible. In fact, I wanted to give you a definition of sacrifice. It says, a sacrifice is an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. Do you hear that? It's sacrifice because you want something, but you say, no, I'll give it up because you discovered something else that was more valuable. I want you to see this passage that we're looking at. It says, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And they sent them off. The sacrifice is on the part of Barnabas and Saul, who must have had a much easier time living in Antioch than they will have done when they start traveling around. We hear of all of Paul's comments about his shipwrecks and his beatings and everything that happens on the journey. So they make a sacrifice, but so does the church in Antioch. You see, the church in Antioch, they send their senior guy out, Barnabas. He's the guy who came down. He's named first. There's a couple of other reasons why he is probably if we talk about a senior pastor or somebody who's as high as anybody, and they have a group of people, but they send him out. And then they send out Saul, who later becomes Paul, because in the Greek context, he's got a Greek name, which means Paul. But they send him out, and this is the guy who's probably the most educated and smart guy on their team. He's been taught by Gamaliel in Israel and in Jerusalem, and he's just the thinker. And so they take these two people and they send them out, and they're like, seriously, God, them? Couldn't you have called Joe down on the corner and Mary over on the, you know, who runs that other shop? Wouldn't it be better to send them? But you took these people. But they seem to be very willing and able and say, no, we're sacrificing. We're sacrificing something valuable for something much more valuable. It's the heart of worship, isn't it? I read another quote. I lost it in the first service. I was like, so I found it now. And it says this. I read this quote. I found it. It says, human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. Every step toward the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless exertions and passionate concern of dedicated individuals. And I didn't know who wrote it. In fact, I kind of got lost in who wrote that. And finally, I, by accident, found out who wrote it just a day or two later. And maybe you heard it, but it's written by Martin Luther King Jr., who certainly sacrificed for the sake of getting the civil rights movement going and really causing major change to happen in our country. They were the ones who walked into, you know, they were in Mississippi and in Memphis and in Selma and all these places where they went in to do changes. And they're the ones who stepped off the bus. They're the ones who walked across the bridge. They're the ones who got bit by dogs and who got pounded by fire hoses and this suffering. But they said, we are going to suffer. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to lay down our lives. We're going to take the hardship in order to accomplish these great things. Because that's the way things work. If you want to accomplish them, you have to suffer. You have to sacrifice. You have to choose to give up something that you care about for something that you care about even more. And I'm calling us as the church to sacrifice, to be sacrificers, to actually worship God, because it's a sacrifice. And I think without sacrifice, we've missed worship. We've done the comfortable thing, and God doesn't care. What He wants is our lives. What He wants is people who say, yeah, here, take me. Take all of me. Calls us, this church, to sacrifice. To be those who give up things that we would rather keep for something much better. The problem is, we care more about these things than what God cares for us, right? Isn't that why we don't sacrifice? Because we get these things and we say, no, I want this comfort. I want this life. Take your pick. I want that rather than this. I want those comforts in my life. I want those pleasures. I want those riches. I want whichever. More than what I want what God wants. More than I want to build His kingdom. More than I want to be for Him. More than I want to grow in Him. More than I want to grow others in Him. But in order to accomplish anything, it's going to take sacrifice on our part. Every good athlete knows it, right, Tim? He was telling us yesterday about his running. And you give up something important sometimes, something hard to give up to get the good stuff. I want to walk through their journey of how to sacrifice and what happened. In fact, I'm going to use three words, and there's three questions tied to those words. The three words are witness, worship, and waiting. And the three questions are really why to sacrifice, which is the word witness. How to sacrifice, or how to be prepared to sacrifice, which is the word worship. And what to sacrifice, which is waiting. Time. You know, time runs. It's amazing how fast that dang clock goes. But I want to look at this passage and just sit in it and ask the questions. How are we going to be sacrificers? How are we going to worship God really the way He wants to? He wants us to. The first word is witness. Now, there were in the church in Antioch. It's that Antioch church. Remember, the sacrifice He calls them to do is to send out their best people. Go, take Barnabas and Saul and send them because I got to work for them. And they're like, dang it, Those are important people. One's leading us, one's teaching us great stuff, and we're left without them. How are we going to do that? Well, I want to point out that Antioch is the place where a bunch of people ran when they were being persecuted. You know, they were persecuted in Jerusalem because of all the stuff that Stephen started to say. You know, Stephen was preaching and they killed him, and then they started, Saul himself, the one guy here, started to come against the church, and he led a bunch of people, and so there was great persecution. They were finding Christians in their homes, and they were dragging them into jail, and they were beating them, and then there was other people who says, I got to get out of here, so they ran for their lives, and there were the kind of the Greek people, the Hellenists, and they said, we got to get out of here. But what they didn't do was stop talking about Jesus. Can you see how deep that love for Jesus is? If they're running for their lives because of Jesus, but they're still talking about Jesus, you know he's deep in their lives and they're in love with him. And that kind of love cannot help but come out of you. If you believe in Jesus that much, it flows out of you. It flows onto other people, right? You start saying, Jesus changed my life. I gotta let somebody know. Jesus, I'm just getting closer to him. So it comes out of my conversation because I talk about him all the time. How's your love life with Jesus? One of the reasons we come up to take communion is so that we remember that he did this most remarkable thing in history for us. He's the center of our faith, and we never, ever forget he died for us. And I'm in love with him because he first loved me. Can you take a thermometer out right now and stick it in your mouth and say, okay, what's my temperature of my love for Jesus? Because I want you to grow in that temperature. These people in Antioch, they were sharing the gospel. In fact, they're sharing it with Jews, and they started saying, hey, this Gentile's coming next to me, and he's listening in on us. I don't know. Should I tell him? Well, he's pretty interested. Maybe I'll tell him too. Okay. So they start telling these Greek and these Gentiles, these non-Jews, the gospel. And these other non-Jews are saying, I want to hear more. I want Christ. I'm giving my life to Christ. And then they start thinking, this church that's reaching these Gentiles, they start thinking, if God is reaching these people, he has more people to reach. We want to be involved in what God is doing. You see, God has set up these people to be prepared to sacrifice. They're loving Jesus. And they're seeing this love flow out in their witness as it happens. And people come to Christ and they're thinking, this is what life is about. We've got to get this good news to people who are not here. People that we can't reach right here. And God says, I'm working the magic so that they will be ready to sacrifice. So let me ask a question again. How's your love life with Jesus? Are you so much in love with him that you can't hold it back? That he starts to ooze out of you. He loves you more than you know. Hang out with him. Ask him to show him yourself, because that love will start oozing. It will start flowing. You won't be able to shut up, nor will be able to act differently. You'll be a different person and people ask you questions. Get your love life going. Two, the next word is worship. Because it's right there. See, it says there in verse 2, while they, these people in Antioch, were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Paul, Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You see, the Holy Spirit talked to them while they were worshiping. But I want you to hear this word worship, because I'm reading, I'm like, that's an unusual word for worship. Because there's other words for worship, just praising and lifting them up and worshiping. But this word is a word. In fact, I'm going to tell you the Greek word. Are you ready? Liturgy. You know that one. See, you knew more Greek than you thought already. Liturgy. We know that word. We read it. We're like, hey, that's a word I know. That's what they do. And, you know, we go to a place and they have these different things that you do beforehand. And you know, then they tell you, you know, stand up, sit down, fight. Well, no, it's that. But, you know, we do these things that lead us into worship. In fact, liturgy gives us different readings. They have an Old Testament reading, they have a New Testament reading, they have a gospel reading, they have psalms, you know, and they read these different things, and then you speak on these things, and it's a means of worship. But what it means, where it comes from, the word comes from the Old Testament, where the priests went into the temple and did the work, the service to God. That's why some of your translations don't say worship, some of your translations say service. Because it's a serving of God. It's not a coming to him and saying, let me sit back and let me, God, you talk to me here. You know, I want to listen to these songs and worship and wait for you to warm my heart so that I feel good. That isn't the point. The priests came. Think about what the priests did in the temple. They came and they brought these different animals. Somebody would come up and say, hey, I got this Thanksgiving offering, you know, could you offer this? And the priest would say, yes, let me take that. And so they would take it over to the altar and they would do whatever they were going to do with that particular one. I'd have to look up the Thanksgiving offering. And they would offer this on the altar. They're doing the service. And then somebody would say, oh, hey, here's a drink offering. Would you take this and pour it out? So they'd go up and how they pour it out. They would do a burnt offering, a whole burnt offering. They take this bowl and they stick it up. They probably had a couple of them to do that, but the altar. And you see what they're doing? They're sacrificing things to God, and a fragrance goes up before God, and it smells really good. I mean, you know, this is Chanel number 5 to God, right? You know, I mean, this is really good smelling stuff. And God is like, oh, that's beautiful. I love that. And he comes down upon them. Why? Because they're not just coming to get from God. They're not. They're coming to give. They're coming to serve God. I want us to be like that. We come to our church. We come here on Sunday morning. We go to our small group or our home church or wherever we are. And we come not to get, but to give. What's the line of John F. Kennedy? Oh, that you wouldn't just come, you know, that I have to say it right, you know, that you're, don't, anybody know it? Ask not, thank you, I had to get the first one. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, right? Thank you. But isn't that what we should do with God? Don't we owe him our lives? See, the first one follows right into the second one. We're so in love with Jesus, we're because he did something for us. We're giving out. So we come together, not just to get, but we are serving. We're offering. We're saying, thank you, God. Oh, here's my life, God. Oh, what can I do for you, God? How can I serve you? How can I bring a fragrant offering before you? Lord, be glorified. You are the one, not me. It doesn't matter. I'll probably get some residual blessing back, but I'm going to bless you, God. And that prepares us to be sacrificers. Those who are willing to lay down our lives and say, yes, okay, whatever you want. You see? Because we're coming to God and we're getting a much clearer picture of who God is. We're giving ourselves and we're understanding and we're sacrificing and we're thanking. We're remembering his sacrifice. We're serving one another in the body. We come to give. We do liturgy. We play the part of the priest. And it prepares us to sacrifice. Let me ask you then, are you playing the part of the priest? Are you coming to worship, to serve, to give, to honor God? When a song is sung, are you honoring God? When the scripture's read, are you honoring God? Are you listening? Are you giving? Are you serving? Are you opening your life and handing it to him? When there's opportunity to care for one another, are you honoring God in that relationship? Are you caring for the people around you? Give. You set yourself up to be someone who is ready to sacrifice. Third, waiting. What do we sacrifice? Listen to what it says. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Think about this group. I mean, there are people who were already about witnessing. They were reaching these Gentiles. And God says, a great people to start with. Oh, they're ready to move on.
And they're serving me. I love the smell coming from Antioch these days. And then they got to the place where they say, if those are true, boy, we want to wait before God. We want to fast. We want to put aside food so that we are more concerned about what God is calling us to. We're willing to be hungry and find out what God is saying and say, okay, God, have your way. I'm open to whatever you say. Call us. Speak to us. Say whatever you want. There's a need to wait for God. To sit quietly. To sometimes give up things. To fast. To say, okay, God, I'm in love with you. I'm coming to serve you. And I'm going to wait. It's a hard thing to do. I got to tell you why I don't like this, because I'm afraid of what God is going to say and what he has said already, but I'm afraid of what he's going to say because he's going to call me to sacrifice. And guess what? Sacrifice, by nature of the word, hurts. I'm giving up something that I want. For something that I want more or is more valuable. But you prepare to sacrifice, just like God did in the early church in Antioch, so that God can carry out his purposes through you, so that you are available. Do you have time to wait? Do you sit quietly before God? Do you read? I was just talking to somebody in between the services saying, hey, read the scriptures, but don't just read it. Spend some time in there and get a journal so that when you hear God, you write something and you give God as much time as you can, because he needs to talk back to you. And he will talk in different ways. Fast. Take some time. Get alone. Hear God. Let him do his talking. Sometimes it takes a long time, but you are waiting so that God can do incredible stuff in you. He can speak and he can call and he can say, this is what I want you to sacrifice. You're going to need God's word on that because you won't want to give it up. I know. We're a church that is called to equip people. We got to do it, right? You know it. You have gifts and abilities and strengths, and we're like, oh, how do we, God, help us to let these be used mightily? And we're called to reach into our inner circles. Goodness gracious, our job, right? There's people around us who need Jesus. We need to be in love with Jesus. We need to just be saying, oh, and these people that we love need to be in love with the one we love. And then we're called to reach into this world. We have small groups and we have home churches. And in home churches, what we're doing is trying to give out some great people in our church so that they can start places where we are working to make them reach more people who we can't reach here. If we can, great, let's do it. Let's reach more people. Let's fill the place, but let's send people out to do the same thing. And it's sacrifice. It hurts. Man, what are we going to do if Tim leaves? What are we going to do with Sharon when she goes? She does all that children's ministry. What in the world? You know, I know that what happened in China. All the missionaries got kicked out in 1948. And the leaders, the church leaders, got thrown in prison. And then we didn't hear anything for decades. We thought the church was dead in China. And suddenly we got a glimpse in, and all of a sudden there's millions and millions of Christians. It exploded. Sometimes we say, boy, when we send people out, what's going to happen? But all the churches I know who do it, at least do it well. It goes out, and these people start to grow because they're like, oh, we grasp it more. God's come down upon us more. They are, and God looks it down and says, I smell that sacrifice. I love it. That's the smell I love, and my blessing is on that. That's what I want. That's what we have a chance to do. That's what we have an opportunity to do, just as a church sending people out. But listen, it isn't just us as a church. It's also you, right? God is calling you. He's going to walk you into a sacrifice. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but he wants you. He wants you to be a witness, Somebody who just oozes Jesus. Let's start there. Ooze Jesus. Fall in love with him that it can't be hidden. Be a worshiper, not just somebody who comes to hear, but a priest who is offering sacrifices that makes God happy and loves. He loves the smell of what you do. You are serving God. Come to serve God. And a listener, a waiter, someone who waits on God with his ears open, who sacrifices so she can hear God speak, who sacrifices food or other things to listen, to be in a posture of listening. Assume the position. Always reminds me of the airplane movie. Because my wife says, you know, she always points to that one. You know, we just assume the position. And in the airplane movie, they say, assume crash position. So everybody jumps all over. That isn't what we mean. But you assume crash position. You get into a place to assume the position to hear God. Because he's calling you and you'll need his voice. There's another reason. I'm going to do the short version of this reason. There's another reason why we would make that sacrifice. Kierkegaard wrote a story, which I'm going to summarize, about a king who fell in love with a peasant woman, just loved her. And he's like, what can I do? How can I love her? How can I bring her in so that we really have the relationship I want, so she loves me back? And he knew what his advisors would say. They would say, just command her to be your queen. But he knew that wouldn't work. The power doesn't make love. And he says, that won't work. And then the advisor said, well, why don't you just forget her and love someone else? But he says, I can't. I'm in love with this one. I can't give it up. I won't give it up. So his love became his pain. So he did the only thing he could do. He laid aside his kingly mantle. He put aside his power. And he lived the life. He actually entered in and lived the life of a peasant in a hovel, scratching a living, so that he could bridge the gap between himself and this woman that he loved. See, that's what Jesus did for us. He came and he became one of us. He laid his life. He sacrificed the glories of heaven to come down. He didn't take it with him. And he suffered and sacrificed in his life and in his death so that we could be united with Christ. And the Antioch Christians said, you did that, you can have anything. They're prepared to sacrifice. And they said, Barnabas and Saul, nice knowing you. Well, they prayed on him and sent him out, but they said, that's the right thing to do. God, we're ready to sacrifice. Let me ask you, are you ready to sacrifice? Are you ready? Are you witnessing? That is, are you in love with Jesus so it overflows? Are you worshiping? That is, are you really coming to serve God? To make it about him and not about you? And are you waiting? Have you opened your ears to say, okay, God, what do you want? Because when you sacrifice, you will experience life. More life. God will smell your sacrifice and say, oh, how pleasing that is. I love that. Let me accomplish my purposes through you and bless you. Pray with me. Father, I come before you. We need you. We need you more. I need you because I know you're working in me to sacrifice too. And I love those things so much that I don't want to. I know. And yet you are working in me to want to. And I see that. Thank you, God. Would you do it in each one of us? That we would give. That we would lay our lives open before you. That we would be witnesses. That we would be worshipers. That we would be waiters. That we would prepare ourselves and be ready to sacrifice. So your name is glorified. Your kingdom is built. And we are entirely open and available available to you. So come down upon us, Holy Spirit. Have your way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.